Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22. Jeremiah 22, verses 27 through 30. And we'll read this passage responsively. Jeremiah 22, verses 27 through 30. But to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man, Coniah, a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, and he is his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David, and ruling any more in Judah. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for what you've done for us. And God, you sure have been good to us today. Father, I pray that this hour would be anointed by you. Holy Spirit of God, would you reach down into each and every heart, each and every mind. Open them for the preaching of the Word of God and the prompting of your Spirit. Would you give me clarity tonight? Would you give me your power, your love, and your wisdom? In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in Jeremiah 22 is a very interesting passage. I want you to listen to me tonight. I'm gonna need your mind. We're going to use the Bible a little bit tonight, but give me the first few minutes to explain some things. Josiah, here in the Bible, became king when he was 8 years old. I'm not going to go into a long, drawn-out story, but his grandmother, Athaliah, a very evil, wicked, vile woman, her son was on the throne. He died. She decided she wanted the throne. So she had all of her children and grandchildren killed, and they hid little baby Josiah at the church building. They figured some evil woman wouldn't go to the church, amen? So they hid Josiah at the church for 8 years. Can you imagine how evil you must be to destroy and kill all of your children and grandchildren just so you could have power? Sounds like a politician, doesn't it? He became, at 8 years old, the king. They decided that he was old enough. He had reached a level, according to Hebrew law, to where he could become king. And they went through a process. He became king. Under Josiah, they found the word of God again. They discovered the word of God. Revival took place. And Josiah followed the word of the Lord and followed God all of his life. But Josiah's son, Jehoiakim, takes over for him. Jehoiakim led the people of Israel away from God and into idolatry. The king of Babylon captured Jehoiakim. And again, I'm not going to take you through all these scriptures, but the king of Babylon captured Jehoiakim, and they literally put him in a cage and tortured him till they killed him. And threw his body over the wall of Babylon and Jerusalem like you would, and the Bible uses the word donkey, like you would an old donkey or an old mule in Bible days, to rot. Well, he was not given a king's funeral. Israel's in bad shape. Israel's in deplorable shape. I want you to notice verse 29, the Bible says, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. When God repeats something, he does it for emphasis. You know, God only has to say something one time and it's true, period. But when God says something twice, he's saying pay attention. When he says it three times in a row, you better look out. Let me show you what I mean. Normal people. I don't know what that word means. Most people have a first, middle, and last name. I have a first, a middle, and a last name. Now, for some reason, in some parts of the country, people move their middle name to the front and their front name to the middle, and you never know what their name is. But that's the way it goes. But when you were a kid, if your mom hollered your name and said, Ed, get in here. Okay, you might listen, you might not listen. What's your middle name, Ed? That's not your first name anyway. Yeah, what's your first name again? Guy. I knew that. But if she said, Guy Hawkins, you get in here, he still wasn't going to pay attention. But when she said, Guy Edward Hawkins, you better get in here, guess what? Feet can't move fast enough, amen? You say why? Because when she used all three names, she meaning business then. Usually it meant judgment has already come and passed and I'm dead. You know, when I heard all three of my names, the next statement out of my mother's voice was, just wait till your dad gets home. I'm already here, Mama. Don't tell him. Too late. Should have come when I heard front and last name, amen? There are only four times in the Bible where God repeats a word one after another three times. Only four. One of those is here in Jeremiah, where the Bible says, O earth, earth, earth. Now, you'll see statements repeated throughout the Bible and repeated, you're right, but never three times in succession like that, except four times. We're going to look at those four times tonight, and I want to teach you something that I think can help you. Here, Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, earth, earth. God is telling the world to pay attention. Say, what does that mean? When I was rearing my kids, there was a word I learned from Brother Hiles. It was, yeah. That's a southern word for, you better listen or you're dead meat. But you don't have to say all those words. All you got to do is, yeah. I watched my daughter go, she knows what that means. My boys were home at Christmas. They were here at church one day. I think Mrs. Barnes was next to me. I said, watch this. My boys were a whole crowd of people. I said, watch this. I said, yeah. Nobody else in the room heard it, but I watched two heads go like this. I got one that's 22 and one that's 18, and they both went like this. I said, I just want to make sure they're still listening. Amen, Brother Mike? Can I tell you something? When God said, oh, earth, 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 He's saying the world had better pay attention. That word earth right there means the cosmos, the makeup of the world itself. Folks, look around at all the disease in this world, and God's trying to get everybody's attention. AIDS is a judgment of God, and I don't care how much the press doesn't report on it, it's an epidemic proportions all over the world today. The hurricanes. God's in control of them. It's not an accident. You say, yeah, but there's innocent people. God's trying to get people's attentions. What about the tsunamis? And God knows I hurt for those people. God knows I wept for people I had never met. But I hate to tell you something, God's in control. Most of those things take place in areas where people hate God. And by the way, America is the point where she hates God. Earthquakes. Just go to Southern California. They hate God. And I hate earthquakes. My wife and I have been through a couple dozen earthquakes. 2 years in Southern California. I've been through so many earthquakes, it's not funny. I went through two of them in one day that were over 7 point. I mean, you talk about shake, rattle, and roll. It will do it to you, I promise you. We were in four earthquakes that were over 6 point, two which were over 7 point. We lost 2/3 of the baptistry water twice in one Sunday. My house was moving 3 feet during those, okay? When you can move an entire house 3 feet in each direction, you know, 3 feet this way, 3 feet that way, that's a lot of shaking in your house, promise you. It doesn't matter if you got the lid up or down, all the water in your commode goes whoop, right on the floor. You say, how does it stand up? They build their houses and buildings on giant coil springs, and the houses bounce, and they do this. The big skyscrapers out there are built on giant roller bearing systems and tracks, so that as the ground moves, those buildings just roll within those tracks. It's the craziest thing you've ever. You ought to be up 40 stories in a skyscraper when one of those puppies hits. And that whole building's going like this. You say, what happens? You fall on the ground and hold on underneath something so it doesn't hit you in the head. Now, wait a minute. The global economy is collapsing. The world is collapsing around us. And Christians better wake up and realize it's time to reap the harvest before Jesus comes back. I'm going to make a statement here. Well, I'm going to make a lot of them. Christians need to wake up and quit playing church. We got too many people going to church, putting their time in like the Catholics, saying, well, I went to church, I played church today. It's time to take Christianity seriously. It's time to quit fussing with each other and go out and fuss with the devil. I'm just here to shout. This is where I'll probably get in trouble. God was reminding us that the earth itself was cursed by sin. The earth itself is cursed by sin. I do not believe, I believe it is a political tool of the devil to make people believe in global warming. There is no such thing. Period, end of discussion. You say, well, what about all of the carbon emissions? I do believe in pollution. If you don't believe in pollution, fly into L.A. sometime. Drive through Gary, Indiana, and Chicago. Trust me, I do believe in pollution. Go to Japan and look at Tokyo one of these days. Pollution harms people. Say why? Because we're not smart enough how to do things right without governments destroying us in the process. We're smart enough, we just don't use it. We've allowed too many people to take our freedoms. But listen to this statement. The earth was cursed by sin, and the earth itself is dying too. Did you catch that? The earth itself is dying too. Do you know that plants die? No. But I'm not totally sure that before the fall of man that plants didn't live forever. See, the earth was cursed by sin. Please don't get mad at me. I think anything in moderation is right. And it doesn't matter to me which side of this you fall on, but what everybody says, well, if you just do everything natural, it will be fine. The earth is cursed by sin. Even the natural stuff you have is cursed by sin. You won't live forever if you do it. Now, if you choose to do it that way, great. You want to drink swamp water and eat tree bark? Go at it. I'm not against you doing that. But at the same time, I don't think that you have to go to the doctor every time your nose runs and your toe hurts and you got a sniffle. I think there's a happy medium in both of those. Okay? And by the way, those of you that believe in doctors only and not natural, don't criticize the natural people. And those of you that believe in the natural and not doctors, don't criticize the other. Somewhere in the middle is reality. But I hate to tell you, both are cursed by sin. Both. Do I believe there are some things out there naturally that can help you? Yes, I do. I take bee pollen every day of my life. I'm not here selling bee pollen. Trust me. Keep your sales out of the church. Just live right. Amen? Say why? Because it has been the only thing that has helped me. And I've been taking that for 20 years. Virtually every day of my life for 20 years. But in 20 years, I haven't taken a box full of acetaminophen probably. Because it helps me. It doesn't help everybody, but it helps some people. You say, well, you need natural bee honey from the local area. No, you don't. Do the research on it. it is not the local thing. It is the enzyme in the actual bee pollen itself. Doesn't matter where that enzyme is located in the country. It is the enzyme itself that works with your body to fight the pollen and build it up in your system. That's what it is. Now, somebody will criticize me. Well, you shouldn't do that. Well, you don't have to. I do. It works for me. Amen. I take a good natural multivitamin. Say why? When you run as hard as I do, you need something. I do my best to stay up with that. I'm for that. It helps me. I eat fairly healthy. Now, I can't tell you that your definition of healthy and mine is the same. But I eat pretty healthy. I don't eat a lot of processed meats. I go out and shoot my own meat. And my family lives on deer meat, deer burger. I grind it. I butcher it. I know exactly where it came from. I watched it walk in the field before I harvested it. I watched what farms it was on before I harvested it. And I understand that. I grind my own burger out of it. And you name it, we use it. We use it a lot. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm afraid to go out and buy a steak somewhere either. I'm not afraid of that. I have a little garden that I try to keep up with. I grow some greens and taters and a few other things in there. And thank God for rhubarb. Amen. Amen, Brother Jerry. I had rhubarb this year. I'm not lying. The stalks on my rhubarb were almost 30 inches long. And they were as big as your forearm. I mean, they were huge. You say, why? Because I like that kind of stuff. But guess what? I'm not going to live forever. I might live a little happier and a little healthier. I know some people that live on what the world calls health food, and they're the sickest people I know. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get sick. You say, why? Because the earth is cursed. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Okay. Don't get too mad at me here. According to Isaiah 6:3, we're not going to take time to turn there, and Revelation 4:8, in both of those passages, the Bible says, holy, holy, holy. So, first place, God says, earth, earth, earth. Then, in two places, God says, holy, holy, holy. The world and the lost world needs to see the holiness of God. I'm going to make a statement here. God wants the Christians to step up and live holy. Holy doesn't mean dressing like mama, calling yourself father, and walking around like some weirdo. You shouldn't say that, okay? Don't say it. I will. Can I tell you something? That's why I believe the King James Bible is so important. There has got to be somewhere the authority of God. And it's right there. Amen. Yes. I don't care what church you go to. If they're wishy-washy on that, they're wishy-washy on the authority of God. And they lack holiness. I know enough about holiness to know this. Where the King James Bible is a good English translation, they also have weak holiness in their living amongst their people. You check out a Bible college, find out where they stand on that book. You don't get mad at me. I look at their doctrinal statement on the King James Bible in the Word of God first. Then I can tell you what their standards are. I don't have to go any farther. I do not have to go any farther. But listen to me for a second here. I looked at what we would call mainline Bible college this week. I looked on their websites and I looked at their doctrinal statement on the King James Bible. Then, those that said it is inspired in its originals only, or that it is a good translation, I went to their sports pictures. And on quote-unquote fundamental Bible college campuses, they're competing with their girls wearing shorts. And we wonder why. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid of it. I'm not here telling you that you're a bad person. I'm just telling you, I know when you got your authority right with that, everything else lines up straight.
Amen.
Every time. Every time. All right. Now, holy, holy, holy. That's why this church is a hospital, not a museum. Two times just yesterday, I met with people, won them to Christ. And I said, you're dealing with a sinner. I am a sinner just like you. I said, if you come to my church, I said, guess what? It's going to be full of sinners. They looked at me. I said, we're all sinners. I said, and anybody that tells you they're not, they're a liar and they sinned. I said, church is not a museum where you go there and look at pretty things and say, oh, that's what you should be. That's what you should be. That's what you should be. That's what used to be. Museums are full of dead things. This is a hospital. It's where we come because we're sin sick and we need the word of God and we need the, pardon the expression, but we need the doctor to open it up and tell us the truth, what's wrong with us. I don't always like what the doctor has to say. My wife's been wanting me to go to the doctor. I said, wait till I get down to the weight I'm supposed to be at because I don't want to hear doctor tell me I need to lose some weight. So after I get there, then I'll make the appointment. Amen. Say why? Because I'm not going there to hear some doctor tell me you need to lose a few pounds. I'm going to lose them first and say, I did it. Say why? I don't need a doctor to tell me I need to lose a few pounds. I already know. I've been working on it long enough to know how much I need to lose. Amen. Y'all doing okay?
No.
I went from preaching to meddling, huh, Brother Jerry? We need to preach against God's people living like the world. Now, I love you whether you live right or not, but it's time for the Christians in this world to stand up and live holy. It's time for your music to be different than the devil's music. It's time for your dress to be different than the world's dress. It's time for your morality to be different than the world's immorality. It's time for us not to accept it's not time for us to use sodomy as entertainment. Sick and tired of the sodomites entertaining us.
Amen.
Tired of liberals infiltrating us, whether it be spiritual or political. We need to live holy, not play holy. Can I tell you something? Anything compared to a skunk smells good. Well, it's not as bad as... Okay, why are you comparing yourself to a skunk? You still stink. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Folks, why do we have to compare ourselves with the worst thing we can think of?
Well, I didn't kill nobody.
Did you ever go out soul winning? If you died today, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? Oh, yeah. How do you know that? Well, I ain't killed nobody yet. See, what is that? We try to compare ourselves with the worst person and the worst thing we can think of. Let me ask you a question. What's right with it? Have you put it up alongside of the Word of God and Jesus Christ? How do you do then?
Amen.
That's called holiness. Quit comparing yourself to the world. Compare yourself to this book right here. I don't know about you. I don't give a flip what the world's doing. I want to be right with that. This world is sick. This world is as unholy as it gets. Some of you older folks, some of you gray hairs, some of us gray hairs. Man, we remember a different country. Good night. When I was growing up, if a kid raised their voice to their mom or dad, if mom or dad didn't slap them upside the head, somebody else did right away. Now you go to jail for it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Good night. If the neighbor didn't whip you if you did something wrong, after dad whipped you, he went over and yelled at the neighbor for not whipping you. Y'all, at least that's where it was in my neighborhood. Good night. Now if you look at a kid the wrong way, you're going to go to jail for child abuse. Holiness. Earth, earth, earth. Holy, holy, holy. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13. Turn there real quickly. I'm going to have you turn to this one very quickly. Revelation chapter 8. As soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. Revelation chapter 8. We're going to look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." The next statement that is repeated three times in succession is the word woe. Woe, woe, woe. That's what you say when your daughter's about to ram into the back end of another car. Amen. Whoa, whoa, whoa! She has not done it. Don't worry. That's not what it was for. But those of you that have teenage children that are driving, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Whoa, 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 whoa. Say, what is that? You're trying to get their attention. Wrath is about to follow. That is exactly what the word means. You look up the definition of woe, it means wrath is to follow. Wrath is to come. I'm going to make a statement here that none of us like to face. I want everybody's eyeballs right here. Do you realize that you personally will face God for your life? You will stand before a holy God one day and give an account of your own personal life. You're not going to be able to say, well, it was my mommy's fault. It was my daddy's fault. It's my husband or my wife's fault. No, you will face God individually by yourself. And you're going to say, whoa. Why don't you face woe right now? Do you realize that we give God lame excuses for not being in church?
Well, I just didn't feel like going.
I realize when you're sick, all right? If you've got to hang a bucket around your neck and things, stay home. We don't need it, amen? But we stay home for some pretty lame excuses.
Well, some lady looked at me the wrong way and I'm not going to go back there for a while.
How do you know she was looking at you? I just know. Oh, okay. I've gotten that excuse, just so you know. Well, I'm not going to come to Sunday school because I know more than my teacher. I doubt it. But even if you do, you need the Word of God anyway. Because your arrogance is showing. Amen. Do you know that I sit in Sunday school class? I sit in Brother Gus Collins' Sunday school class. He's my Sunday school teacher. By the way, he's trying to get out of it because it intimidates him. I know how you feel, man. Nah, good man. I've learned things from him. Just so you know. Sometimes it's what not to say. No. You knew that was coming, didn't you? I watched Kathy going, here it comes, here it comes. You know, I wonder how many times we were supposed to obey God and we didn't do it. You're going to face him for it. You're not face God for your sin. I'm here to shout, you're going to lose rewards because you didn't do what you're supposed to do. And you're going to face him for it. And by the way, you're not going to be able to point the finger to somebody else. Do you know those dreaded words as a child? Just wait till your dad gets home.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just go ahead and beat me, Mom. Get it over with. Oh, no. We're going to wait till Dad gets home. You say, what is that? Whoa. And in my case, it was, whoa, whoa, whoa. We were going to have a powwow. He was going to pow and I was going to wow. Lastly, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't even like this passage of Scripture. It's a passage of Scripture that just breaks my heart personally. Verse 33, the Bible says, "And the king was much moved and went up into the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." David is mourning the death of his son Absalom. Say, what happened? His grown child turned against him. His grown child led a rebellion and led a revolt to try to kill David, his father, and take over the throne of Israel. In disloyalty to his own father. And with his hippie hair, got hung in the tree while he was fighting against his dad's army. And as he dangled in the tree by his long hippie hair, Joab came by and stuck 3 darts in his heart and killed him. Word came back to David that his son was now dead. And David mourns the death of his son. Young people, look at me. Don't you ever make your mommy and daddy do that for you. Nothing breaks the heart of a mom and dad more than disobedience of a child. Nothing. Those of you teenagers that think you know more than your mom and dad, and you don't like their rules, and you don't like the morality, and you don't like the preaching, and you're going to go live how you want, you will destroy the heart of your mom and dad. I promise you. You've not had to sit on my side of the desk and look at a mama, look at a daddy and say your teenage daughter's pregnant. Your son got a girl pregnant. They're not married. You don't know how bad that hurts a mom and daddy. You've not had to sit on the other side of the desk and tell a mama and daddy that their child is on drugs. You've not had to sit on the other side of the desk like I've done on more than one occasion and have to tell a mama or a daddy that their child is a sodomite. Can I tell you how bad that hurts a mom and daddy? By the way, you're destroying your brothers and sisters at home too. You're killing them. It hurts them. They have the same last name too. You're hurting their reputation too. It's my life. I'll live it the way I want. You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. You owe it to your mom and dad to honor them. I'm talking about the music and the filthy, trashy music that you listen to while you're under their roof. And by the way, moms and dads, time to go through your kids' rooms and clean them out. You mean I should look through my child's things? Yes. Well, what about their privacy? Their privacy starts when they move out of your house. While it's under your roof, God holds you accountable. Some of you are letting your kids do things you wouldn't dream of doing. Well, my kids wouldn't do it. I trust them. Do you really want me to preach on that point? Some of you need to put your foot down with who your kids are running with. Well, that's their friends. It my mom and dad were not shy about telling me, you ain't spending any time with that person at all. But, yep, that's what I'm going to get if you do. That's exactly what I was told. And if I was caught with them, woe came, amen? Some of you moms and dads are destroying your own children by letting them run with bad influences. The first question out of my mom and dad's mouth and my mouth to my children are, who are going to be there? Who are you going with?
Amen.
Who is in charge?
Good.
Then what happened? I checked up on it before they went.
Amen.
You don't trust them? Nope. Say why? Because I don't trust me. Let me ask you a question. Were you that trustworthy at their age? What did you do at their age? And you really want to trust them? They're sinners just like you are. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Some of you need to check their Facebook accounts. And I'm going to park for about 60 seconds here. What do they need one for anyway? I'm 46, almost 47 years old. I don't have a Facebook. And guess what? You're not going to follow our church on Twitter, Pete. Say why? There's too much of that junk going on. Too much instant access. Everybody doing okay? Some of you give your children opportunity to do wrong with their cell phones. You need to check the pictures on there that they're sending back and forth to one another. You need to check what websites they're going to on their phones, not just their laptops or their iPads. Well, I wouldn't know how to do it. Then throw the stupid thing away.
Yes.
If you're not smarter than they are on the issue, don't let them have one.
Amen.
My daughter went to go get we opened her up a checking account here recently. And while we were at the bank, the lady looked at her and said, what's your email address? She said, I don't have one, but you can use my dad's. They know me at the bank. They said, she doesn't have an email account? I said, nope. I said, what's she need one for? I said, you can use mine. And the lady looked at her. My daughter says, oh, that's okay. I'm good with it. He loves me. She didn't know what to do with that one. I said, told you I was a dinosaur. I said, but my daughter knows I love her. Say, she doesn't have an email account? Nope. And none of you twerps are going to email her because you got to email me to get to her. She's not on Facebook? Nope. And your kids are talking to people on Facebook that you would never let them talk to.
Good.
You see, every time you, what's the right word? Friend? Is that the right word? Friend somebody? They have a network of friends that you automatically link to. It's how these perverts are getting on Facebook and luring our children away. They're posing as something they are not. Everybody doing okay? All right. That was more than 60 seconds, but it needed said. Some of you better watch the filthy entertainment that you're watching and participating in. You see, God says, oh, my son, Absalom, my son, would to God I had died for thee. Absalom is the one that killed his brother who raped his half-sister. Wonder what the influences on David's children were. While he was out making his money and fighting, What was he doing with his kids? And I'm not against going out and making money. I'm not against you going out and fighting the wars that we need to fight. But don't lose your kids in the process.
Amen.
You better know who they're with. Some of you trust your kids way too much. Say, you don't trust your kids? Not any more than I trust myself. Well, I can trust my kids. I'll promise you, you bring me all their electronic devices and let me go through their room. For every parent that tells me that, I'll show you things that will curl your hair or scalp if you have any hair left. Promise you. I'll promise you. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Inspect, don't expect. You better stay on it. I'm telling you. By the way, those of you that have little ones, stay on it now.
Amen.
Stay on it now. It makes the battle a whole lot easier later. If when they're 3 and 4 and 5, they don't win, guess what? When they, by the time they hit 13, 14, 15, they know they're not going to win.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
4 times in the Bible, God repeats something. Oh, earth, earth, earth. Holy, holy, holy. Woe, woe, woe. And oh, Absalom, my son, my son, my son, Absalom, my son. Wow. The broken heart of a parent. Hey, young person. Let me take you to a church building with a casket lying right there. And a 19-year-old boy is there who lived the last 2-3 years of his life in total rebellion against God and his mom and dad. And after a football game and drinking one night, going 95 miles an hour on his motorcycle, lost control, killed himself. Yeah. Oh, by the way, who just 3 or 4 years before that day, almost to the day, sat in a hotel room one night, all night long with me, saying God had called him to preach. Wanted to live for God. Did for about a year. And then got away. I'm sitting in the auditorium as a pallbearer for his funeral. They bring the family in, and last comes mom and dad. She got about halfway down the aisle. She let go of her husband's arm and screamed as loud as I've ever heard a lady scream in church, and ran and collapsed on top of the casket. Sobbing, gripped onto it to where 4 of us had to pry her fingers off that casket to make it through the service. And she kept screaming his name. Is that what you want to do to your mom and dad? Because, sweetie, I'm telling you something. You're not that slick. Listen here, dude. You're not that good. You're not. I don't care who you think you are or what your upbringing is. God's repeated it for a reason. I think we ought to just inspect our own lives, inspect our homes. God's trying to get our attention. And let me say this, you had better listen. You had better listen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what area of life, but I'll promise you, everybody under the sound of my voice, there's something in this sermon for you tonight. I promise you that. I promise.